Thank you, Jesus. Woo! The coffee didn't do it. I hope that just did it for you. Hope you're awake. Hope everybody's got their eyes open, ears open. What a beautiful day to celebrate the goodness of our God. Whoo! Before I share the message that's in my heart to share, we've been talking a lot about life groups, home groups, small groups, prayer groups, just different gatherings of people outside of what's happening here on Sunday morning. And it's the roadmap forward for not just King's Fire Church, but for any church that's going to make it in the season that we'll face ahead of us in the next several years. And so it's important that we develop this trust among the body. It's great if y'all trust me, and if you don't and you're here anyway, I don't know what's wrong with you. Go someplace where you can trust the pastor. But we got to learn how to trust one another. And it's so important. There's no way to circumvent that. If we're going to have relationship, if we're going to be a body together, we have to have that next connection, as the Bible says, as every joint supplies. And so wherever your fitment is in the body, you've got to find that connection. And so some folks have been opening up their homes and just feeling led to lead certain types of studies and prayer groups, all sorts of groups. They're just starting. Like, this is a really good launch into where we're going. And Xavier, Bobby Iannuso has been talking about this. And it's something that's been tried many times, but this time it's going to work. Yes. Just want you to know that, all right? This is another one of those times where we'll look back in a couple years and say, man, I wonder why we still don't have, like, functioning, flourishing small groups. Groups meeting individually throughout the week, mornings, nights, whenever it works for your schedule. And whatever it's based around, it's fine. It could be golf or tea or coffee, or it's usually food. If we're here in America, it's usually got food to do with it somewhere, some sort of beverage or food. But the reality is we got to get to know each other, and so these groups are the way to do that. And if it intimidates you, I don't know about you, but most of my life, the things that intimidated me are the things that I needed to push past and get beyond so I can get to the next place. And so if you're intimidated by a relationship, just let the Lord heal you. Let him give you that confidence that he's in you. He'll protect you. But he wants us to be connected. We can't be an effective body together if we're not connected relationally. Not just because your phone number's in the office or your giving comes to one spot or your email. We need all those things, but it's relationship, right? It's that voice on the other end of the phone or in person when you need something and you can call them and then you can pray together. We have to develop that. And I know too many people don't have that yet. And so that's a recap of what we've heard several times throughout the last couple months, but I'm just going to ask X to come up and just go through a few of the groups that are starting now, and if there's some of them are already full, so we're just kind of letting you know they exist, but they're already full, so you got to find someplace else, and maybe there are folks that have a home, that have a living room, and you're able to just open that up every once a month, twice a month, whatever. You figure it out. We got to figure this thing out. All right, hear my heart. We're not going to try to orchestrate and register this and overmanage this. This has to be the body desiring to get to know the body. And if you get someone squirrely in your group and you need a pastor to come in and say, hey, let's go, we'll help you. We're not going to just, like, abandon you to the wolves, you know. But listen, we go to work with some strange characters, right? We go to school with some strange characters. We're not intimidated there. You know, maybe there's a paycheck involved, so we overcome it for that reason. But how much more so in the body can we just be free to get to know one another? And find out what it is that God wants to use us together to accomplish in this season of harvest. Because the harvest is coming in, but we got to plug them into the church. Not this room, not this building, but to plug them into the church. And the church is people, you know that, right? All right, so enough said. X, tell us what's going on.
Thank you, Pastor Josh. There we go. He's fired up. He's ready to preach, so I didn't even want to come up here. Isaac, can you put the first slide up, bud? Can you guys say church app? Okay, so now that you've all said it, you know that we have a church app. This is going to be instrumental in knowing when groups are going on and even the events. Pastor Elaine earlier before worship talked about the potluck dinner. So we have a calendar in there and stuff. So whether your iPhone or Samsung or something else from somewhere else, you can download this app and you can see what's going on. Isaac, can you hit the slideshow? I'm just going to have this running up behind me. It's really awesome, praise God. We do have 10 groups starting this week, which is amazing. Can you guys say life groups? Okay, so you said church app and you said life groups. So now if you're curious or someone else is curious what's happening, you don't have to say go find Xavier, because now you guys all know we're all body, we're all in this together. So we have a couple of different groups happening throughout the week. Some of them are on the first and the third of the month. Some of them will be on the second and the fourth of the month. bi-weekly, I think, is going to be great, especially with schedules and holidays and stuff coming up. And then if the group leader wants to amp it up and say, hey, let's meet every week, what do you guys think about that? It's totally up to them. There is contact info in the app and on the website. We're not going to necessarily have that out to the open, to public. However, if you're curious, if you see a group, you want to get involved, we have Focus on the Family that's happening, which is going to be great for married couples and unmarried couples. We're going to have a women's Bible study that's happening. And then there's the black one. There we go. Potluck dinner that's happening. Guys, make sure you sign up for that. This is the list of the general life groups. They don't necessarily have a theme. I think it's really awesome that we have some themed, some not themed. Then we have a mom's group happening on Monday mornings. Then we're going to start doing a corporate time of prayer every second Wednesday of the month. And then, you know, thankfully, this is an ongoing list. This is going to be a list that gets added to. We have more groups that we're currently working on. So if you guys are interested, if you want a spot to get plugged into, where do we go to find life groups? There we go. So, guys, this is going to be a huge blessing to us. This is going to be a way to really build one another up, fellowship with one another, truly koinonia, really fellowship, and just say, hey, this is what I'm having problems with. We had a sister once, just a testimony really quick, that said, hey, X, I can't really make it to life group, but can I just swing by for some prayer? Said, sure. We were eating dinner. She swung on through. We prayed for her, and then she bounced, and then she had a testimony the following week. And so it's just instrumental. It's important to just be able to say, you know what? Yeah, come in. We'll stop whatever we're doing. Just come into our group. Life groups. Say life groups. Life groups. All right, guys. That's kind of all I have for you. Church app. Download it. Get it. Look at the life groups. See what works for you. And join one. And then hopefully you're inspired to start one yourself, because this is what this is all about. Amen? Amen? All right, guys. Thanks, Pastor Josh.
Very, very, very cool. Everybody's good?
Good.
You sure? Ask your neighbor if they're good. You think they're lying? They're telling you the truth? Or? Thank you. Thanks, Aaron. You're just buttering me up, so I'll cover your green fees later today. It's good to be part of a body. I can personally say I have no idea. I know I'm the pastor, and so sometimes people think that, well, my life is separate from the body because for whatever reason, it's just that thing that we give to the person on the stage in culture, I guess. But the reality is I wouldn't know what to do right now if I didn't have my church family. If I didn't have those people, I mean, people think I'm encouraging and I'm trying to encourage people, but I tell you, when you sow, you reap. When you sow encouragement, you reap encouragement from the body. And I so appreciate those people in our life that are just, you're just bold and brave and courageous, and you're staying strong in the faith. And just watching what some people are enduring and going through in their just desire to live a life according to their own personal conscience and not be swayed by what the world is having to say about our lives and our freedom. It's just precious to be, you know, as things have become more restrictive, it's interesting that the value, you know, the Bible says that we have a like precious faith for those who believe, right? It's called a like precious faith. And when things get weird, you realize how precious that precious is. You know, it's more precious than gold. And it's the hard things that sharpen and refine our faith according to what Peter had to say. And so we just recognize that the day we live in is not always comfortable. But again, I'm going to keep hammering on this notion about the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they are mighty. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. This battle starts in the spirit, but it has descended and it's being fought out on this planet. Some people can only see one side or the other. They think everything they have to do is just in the prayer closet, but that's where you start the spiritual battle, but then it's manifested through the boldness that we now have in the flesh, because we don't preach in the spirit in the closet. You know that, right? How will they hear unless there's a preacher, unless there's one who said the gospel has to be preached with your mouth? with people's mouths and lips and breath, we preach the gospel. That's the natural world. Amen. It's a spiritual message, but if we just disconnect and think it all happens out there someplace, but we don't then put boots on the ground and begin to declare and lay hands on people, why do you think it's that he heals people through the laying on of hands? Clearly doesn't need our hands to do it. Come on, he's done incredible things. She just said, just go. Your daughter's healed. Your son is, you know, the power exists in the spirit realm to do it. God could do it himself. But he chose to use us. He chose to fill this temple of flesh with his spirit, which makes us able-bodied believers in Jesus Christ. And so we've got to have both. We've got to have a spiritual focus. I so love, again, I just keep bragging on the class that happens here Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, the School of the Supernatural. I mean, Pastor David and Nolia, they're just doing such an incredible job, not just of stirring themselves up in their holy faith, but getting a room full of people stirred up in their most holy and precious faith. And it's just beautiful to walk in to the cafeteria and just feel the spiritual energy coming out from that room, because they're focusing in the spirit realm, because that's where our true enemy lies. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood. We come from that place, however, and then we manifest the power that's there in the natural realm. And so we can't neglect either one. We have to be those who walk out from those times with a demonstration of what we've learned and what we've received there, and we're seeing that begin to happen. And so I just want to just thank God for what he's doing. We could easily be sidelined somewhere, just still spinning like many churches are, sadly, just trying to figure out how do we bounce back, or what do we, and they're still trying to go for some weird normal thing, and that's just never working to begin with. There's still too many lost people in Ulster County for me to believe that the church as it was really in the state she needed to be in to reach the harvest that God is calling into the kingdom. And so we're going through some things that are forcing us to refocus on what really matters. Part of what we have to do, we've got to get solid on what really matters, to be pretending that things we thought were important, that people might like, or we're going to move people, and those things are all good. But at the end of the day, we need lives transformed. We need people from darkness to light, from confusion to sound-mindedness. And I just want us to all be appreciative of that next person in the body that you are relating with, so that you can stay strong and connected and not be lost in this delusion that's coming upon our earth. It's just tragic. So prayer, critical time to be in prayer. That's the spiritual place where, that's one of the most powerful spiritual weapons we have, is our prayer. But it's great when it's directed there, but then bring that prayer back and pray over somebody in the flesh, that they would get blessed, that they would be healed, that they would be delivered, that they would have the mind restored to them that God intended for them to have. And so all I can say is, when we're in a time of uncertainty, we've got to focus on what we know for sure. We've got to focus on what we know for sure. Who knows that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world? Is that solid in your heart? Do you know that? Do you know that without Jesus, there is no way you can please God? That your goodness and your best attempt, you can never be good enough? That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him? That message is going to become one of the most offensive messages at the end of whatever compromised churches will go along with. There will come a moment when they're no longer allowed to make Jesus the exclusive way. Many churches have already preempted that, and they've already stopped talking about that, and they've made it open to everybody. I'm sorry, that's not the gospel that Jesus Christ gave to us. That's the gospel of man that they made up so that they could keep people happy and comfortable and unoffended with them. And so that's ultimately where the compromise will lead to. And for those who tip over that point, then we know after that point forward, there's no possibility for those people to be anything other than deceived, believing there's some other way than Jesus Christ to the Father. That his righteousness provided at the cross is what gives us right standing with the heavenly Holy Father. And so we see it coming, we recognize, and we want to be on the right side of that. But that's just one of the many things we can know for sure. It's crystal clear. Apostle Paul wrote so many scathing scriptures about, don't get away from this central point. It is Jesus plus nothing. Once you add something to it, you have nothing. Nothing with any power in it. And so we just want to focus the gospel, the purity of the gospel. I so appreciate Bob Inuso shared a powerful message this morning at 9 o'clock at the class about the reality of the truth is all that we have to stand on. Once it's not the truth, it doesn't have the power to set men free and women free. It's the truth that sets people free. And so the enemy wants to compromise our truth just the slightest bit so that the truth won't have the power that's required for the enemy in the spirit realm to have to bend his knee to it. He doesn't have to bend his knee to a counterfeit. Remember the story of the seven sons of Sceva when they were casting out demons from people, and they had this great ministry going. They were doing it in the name of Jesus that Paul preached. But they didn't know Jesus. They just knew the power that was in the name of Jesus as they were using it. But they hit some person with enough demons in them that those demons had a higher authority than those guys just using the name without understanding the power and the connection behind it. And so all of a sudden, we recognize we live in a day where we're going to have opportunity to see fleshed out on the earth a genuine power demonstration between good and evil. And it culminates with the end of the age, with the earth being rolled up like a scroll and a new one being made. And so I want us to realize the day we live in is not, it's not, if you're bored in your Christianity, open your eyes. Your spiritual eyes. I know we wake up and we drive, we have our eyes open. But open your, in Jesus' name, open your spiritual eyes. Let them be open so you can see. Let your ears be open so you can hear. Only God can do these things for us. Focusing on what we know for sure. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. This is the promise of the gospel that Jesus gave his life for and that the Apostle Paul preached. It's got to be true through and through. One element of counterfeit, and it's not going to have the power it needs to have to stand against the host that we're facing. And I'm going to read through Ephesians chapter 4, 17. I'm going to read some scriptures, and I want to get to a story in Acts 16, and it's just one of my, it's becoming one of my favorite stories. I've had this thing in the last few months about the Apostle Paul. I feel like I'm sympathizing more and more as we see the day approaching with the reality of just watching amazing people that just have sold out for Christ go to prison, be beaten. We've known it's happened in Asia and China and many, many parts of the world in the Middle East where people who stand for Christ are immediately silenced by the political powers that be. And now we see it beginning to happen in America, and it's sort of shocking, but this is not new to planet Earth. It's just new to us as Americans. And it's important that we understand the spiritual component that we're up against, but also understand the boldness that will be required for us to stand in the face of it. And it comes through the Spirit. It's all been about the Spirit. And it says in Ephesians 4:17, "Therefore I say and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." People say, "Oh, I don't see that." Pray that your eyes would be open. Go to the theater and actually look through the content of every movie that's been played now for over 10 years. Every single thing that draws the attention of our culture has been dark. It's been corrupt. It's been lies. It's been deception. It's been sin, immorality, glorified. And we wonder why an understanding of a whole people group has been darkened. It's because we've embraced this blindness of heart. It has not just come automatically. We were born with it, but it's been deepened in its darkness because of what we've been shown and what we've been taught and what we've opened ourselves up to. It says they're being past feeling. There's no longer a boundary that you can push against that's not just going to fall over because evil knows no end. He says, "But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you've heard him and have been taught by him." We're all taught by something and someone, but when we're taught by Christ, it says there's a different reality we live in. Christ is different than the things of this world. And it says, as the truth is in Jesus. The truth is only in one place, and it's in Jesus. If you're trying to find it in your favorite sources, I'm sorry, you're not going to find it there. The truth is in a person. It's not in someone else's wisdom, the wisdom of this world, which is coming to nothing. It's in Jesus. "That you would put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." The Spirit, I want you to remember that, the Spirit of your mind. "And that you put on the new man which was created according to God." Notice created. You didn't make it. You didn't grow into it. You were created in this new man according to God in true righteousness and holiness. True righteousness and holiness can only come from God. It cannot come from us. It's impossible. It comes from him. It's a free gift. And when you step into it, you suddenly have the power to change whatever needs changing in you and people around you that you're interceding for, because that power is unleashed through what's true, not what's artificial and man-made. Actually, you know what? I'm going to read this in my Bible. I'm going to just pull this up. Let's go, if you want to go to Acts 16, we're going to probably finish up around this story in Acts 16. Say, the spirit of your mind. Can you remember that? The spirit of your mind. Can you say it? The spirit of your mind. It's a little more than just your thoughts. It's the spirit of your mind. It's the spirit of your mind. It's what it is. Some things shouldn't need to be elaborated upon. Let the Holy Spirit drop into your heart what it is that we're talking about. We're talking about the spirit. Some translations say the attitude of your mind. Maybe the tint of the lens that you see life through is affected and controlled and altered through what the spirit of your mind is. Remember, we talked about the story of Jesus' disciples wanting to just call down fire on the Samaritans because they didn't like the way they were being treated rudely. And she said, you don't know what spirit you're of. Jesus had to like, hey, you have the power to do this stuff, but make sure that you're functioning. That was the spirit of their mind that was broken. They had the spiritual power to tap heaven's power and to bring it to bear on earth, but the spirit of their mind had blocked them from using it correctly. They wanted to use it to destroy. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy people. I came to save people. I came to bring redemption. They wanted to use it for vengeance and for justification of themselves. Jesus is like, no, the power's not for that. You don't know what spirit that you're of. It was the spirit of the way that they were thinking. It doesn't mean they suddenly were possessed by the devil. That's not what it was talking about. They were full of the Holy Spirit, Jesus had been ministering to them. But the spirit of their mind was still seeing things in a corrupted manner. And so let's start in verse 6. Again, this is the Apostle Paul, who was Saul that we talked about last week. He had this encounter with Jesus Christ, and he just never went back, thankfully. But we'll start in verse 6, Acts 16, 6. And as I read some of these stories, and you recognize some of the history of where the Apostle Paul came from, what he went through to be able to be someone who was now preaching the gospel instead of torturing people and stoning people and imprisoning people to get the gospel to go away. One good thing about the truth is that you cannot quench it. It will always prevail. But in verse 6, it's a story. So let's just embrace this. Stop thinking about, well, what's the spiritual, all this. This is just a story. Luke is a doctor. He's recording this book of Acts. He's also the author of the book of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke. He wrote that gospel, but now he's traveling and he's gathering information as he's traveling with the Apostle Paul, and he's recording it all so that he can have a document to be able to pass on to those people who had questions about, was this Jesus thing really happening? Back then they didn't have videos and stuff they could share and look and see what was happening. They had to rely on word of mouth. They had to rely on things that eyewitnesses wrote down and then hopefully were trustworthy and they were passed along. So This was a big deal what Luke was doing, and he's recording part of this journey, and we'll pick up the journey after they've already been traveling, and now they have some ideas, and let's just start in verse 6. I'll just read it, but just hear the story of what's happening. It says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. That's incredible, huh? There's a lot in this book that'll make you think. Shouldn't we just be able to preach anywhere? Well, the Holy Spirit said, no, not over there. Okay. Verse 7, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Interesting again. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. One thing I'll point out already as we're in this beginning of the story, there was something in them that needed to share the gospel. They weren't sitting on a mountaintop somewhere waiting to know where to go. The burning desire to preach the gospel was there. They're just trying to go, and the Holy Spirit's, nope, not there. Then they try to go over here. He's like, oh, no, not there. There's doors that are closing for whatever. We don't get the details of what was happening, but they could record accurately in a synopsis, the Holy Spirit forbid us from going there. They didn't say the obstacles were too strong or they just couldn't get past. There was something in their heart that said, that's not the way to go. He didn't say, sit still and don't do anything until I show you. He just said they tried another place. Because when you have the sense that God wants you to use the life that you have left to further his gospel and his kingdom, there's something about starting to move that's so important. So many people are waiting to finish seminary or waiting for the full picture. I still have too many questions. Stop the questions and start with what you already know for sure. Start with the fact that you were in darkness and now you're in light. And just tell somebody that. See if you can get some persecution against you. See if you can get some friends to demonstrate they're not actually your friends. They're just numbers on a list that you have on your social network. Let's push this thing. They have this desire to go because they know the message that has to be shared before their life is over. It burned within them, but the Holy Spirit's like, no, not there, not there. And so they passed Mysia and they came to Troas. In verse 9 it says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man, nothing against women. Thank you.